1 Samuel 18, verses 5 through 16. We looked at last week the covenant that Jonathan and David had made, how that David had defeated Goliath, that he had, as a picture of our Lord destroying our enemies. And it says now in verse 5, God's bringing him into the court of Saul, and said, David went out wheresoever Saul sent him, and he behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of all Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, and the women came out of the city of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one to another as they played, and they said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what could he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow, as the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand, as at other times. And there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David to the wall, even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David. Why? Because the Lord was with David, and the Spirit of the Lord was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him, David, from himself, and made him his captain over 1,000, and he sent him out, and he came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. I entitled the lesson this morning, Jealousy is the Rage of a Man. Here David, after God has brought him to the forefront, if you want to say, that before he kept his father's sheep, and now that he's defeated Goliath, God has manifested him. He doesn't go back home anymore to keep his father's sheep. He's like one of the leaders in Saul's army. And he manifests who he is. And he does this on purpose. And everywhere that Saul sent him, that's where he went. He was an obedient servant. And we know this picture is our Lord. Our Lord said in Isaiah 42:1, Behold, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. We know it says, who being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and he took upon himself the form of a servant. Now this is the one that is anointed to be king. He is in due time when God delivers Saul and God destroys Saul, God will bring David to the throne, and David knows it. And he's a servant. Everything that Saul asked him to do, he did it as a willing servant. Now, that's not our nature to be a servant. We all want to be served. We don't want to serve. But he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Everything David did, he was a faithful servant. Whether it was watching his father's sheep, he was faithful. When his father told him to go down and check on his brethren, he was faithful. When he defeated Goliath, he was faithful to the purpose and cause of God. And now that he's in Saul's court, now that he's serving Saul, he's faithful. We can learn a lesson from that. Whatever position that we're in, whatever it is, to be faithful. Whatever you lay your hand to do, do it to the best of your ability. Whether nobody sees it or not, Four times here it says that he behaved himself wisely. Another example of this is Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house in Egypt. It says Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. How did Potiphar see that the Lord was with him? By the way he acted. By the way he acted. And David behaved himself wisely. He knew that he was anointed of God. Our Lord said, I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He knew whatever happened was the Father's will, and he bowed to it. He bowed to it. He behaved himself wisely, that means with his whole heart, and he used great wisdom in what he did. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. Everything he did wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. He was a commander of a group of men. Here the man that just a little while ago had been watching sheep now is leading men into battle. Whatever he's called to do. And our Lord is our great general. You remember when he came and he was going to wash, and he did wash the disciples' feet. And when he came to Peter, Peter said, oh no, you ain't washing my feet. He said, Peter, you don't understand what I'm doing, but eventually you will understand. And he sat and washed their feet and dried them with the towel. As God's servant, as a man, as a man. And it says he was also, now watch this, accepted in the sight of all the people and in all of Saul's servants. These people watched David, watched him. They watched how he acted. They recognized that there was something different about this man. It's not that he went in every day and tried to beat people over the head with the Bible. That ain't what he did. It ain't like religion says, well, I want everybody to see Jesus in me. They didn't see Jesus in Jesus. How do you expect them to see Jesus in you? So what did David do? He behaved himself wisely. There was something different about him. And there was something different about him. He was anointed of God. He was set apart by God. And they recognized it. As I thought about this, I looked it up in Luke chapter 2, where it talks about our Lord after that. They come to the temple, and then it says verse 40 of Luke 2, it says, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. This is when he's 12 years old. Now, he's God, but he's still man as God's servant. And as God's servant, the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom. And the grace of God was upon him. Remember how when Mary and Joseph, they didn't even know he was gone. And when they finally realized it took them 3 days to get back to Jerusalem. And you know where they find him? Sitting in the temple. Don't you know those men said, there's something different about that 12-year-old boy. There's something different about him. He behaved himself wisely. And you know what he did? And it said, and it was said, verse 49 of the same chapter, and he said unto them, talking about, he was speaking to Mary and Joseph, how is it that you sought me? Wished ye not that I should be about my father's business? And they understood not the sayings which he spake unto them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Now listen to this. And he was subject unto them. But his mother kept all those sayings in her heart. They find him, they take him back to Nazareth, and you know what he does for several more years? He was subject unto them. And he's God. And David is the anointed king, but he's still subject. He's still God's servant. But listen to this verse, Luke 2:50. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. as a child. And David here, these people, even Saul's servants recognized it. He grew in favor with men and with God. But I want you to see something. We're going to see here where David's trouble begins. He's king. He's anointed king. He's set apart above his brethren to be king. And one day he's going to be king. It's going to be several years before this takes place. And God's going to use this wicked king to make his servant. You remember this. Everybody's heart is in the hands of God. God turns it whichever way he wants it to go. And here we see David's doing exactly what he's told to do. And here one day, now some say this might have happened after he killed Goliath, but I think it was after he was already a general in Saul's army. He comes back one day from this great battle, this great slaughter of these Philistines. And as the tradition was, as the king come riding in on his big horse into the city, here come out the women. And they're praising Saul. They said, Saul has slain his thousands. But then there's another group of women, and they said, but David has slain his 10,000s. And Saul says, what's going on here? Do you see the picture? This is where it all begins. Something happens here, and God is in control of all this. Here is the cost of victory. David was returning from this battle, and these women cry out. And this reminds me of when our Lord came. Remember when he came to Jerusalem? Riding in on the donkey. It said, then they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now these people are praising him. Verse 19 says, but the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail nothing. Behold, the whole world is gone after him. Not everybody's happy about it. Not everybody's happy about it. Religion's not happy about it. But notice these women praising David and Saul. Now listen. These women came out to exalt Saul and David, but they exalted David more. David had probably killed more than Saul. He probably had. Now, somebody said that they didn't give David praise enough, and they probably praised Saul too much, and I can agree with that. Well, don't you see this? But these women showed out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. These women showed just how low the nation had become. You know what these women are doing? They're worshiping heroes. That's what they're doing. They're just worshiping a hero, whether it's David, and we know David pictures Christ, or Saul. We're going to worship a hero. In their praise, we don't read one word of them praising God. You can't find it. David had killed Goliath. David did kill the Philistines, but who killed them? God did. The battle's the Lord's. He was just the instrument. I don't see anything like it did when God destroyed Pharaoh. Listen to how Moses' song, it says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord. Remember when God delivered Israel, destroyed Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea? They didn't go, well, let's sing a song to Moses. They sung a song unto the Lord and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God. I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war. Who did they praise? They praised him. But these women are praising heroes. This is where we're at today. People like to worship heroes. And I tell you this, we're living in a society when everybody, in the day of Facebook and selfies and all this stuff. You know what that is? Everybody thinks they're a hero. I saw on the news the other day they were talking about the trend now with teenagers is to just see how many friends they can have. It doesn't matter who the friend are. They don't even know. And a lot of those people were pedophiles. They were child molesters. And we can go on and on. They didn't. They said, well, just look at me. I got more friends than you got. And, you know, they even say there's a new study, and they've studied teenagers, and most teenagers, they think their life is a reality show. And it's all about me. Let me just tell you that you're not a hero. Let's just spell it a little different. We're all zeros, not heroes. But isn't that how the world is? They think, just look at me. Let's praise somebody. Religion is big on hero worship. In religion, people like to brag on preachers. Not true preachers, but false preachers. They love to brag on them. Have you ever noticed how these false preachers, they call their ministries after their own name? Billy Graham Ministry and Oral Roberts Ministry and Benny Hinn Ministry or Joyce Myers Ministries. This is God's ministry. Men want to be praised as a hero. And when they don't get praised as a hero, they're going to act just like King Saul. They're going to get mad about it. The sooner you realize that you're not that important, the better. Isn't that right? I know that goes totally against the grain. Because we've been taught in the world all of our life that you need to think good about your... What, you tell me one good thing to think good about. You tell me one good thing. One good thing. Nothing. I've never had a good thought. Never had a right motive. My best thought is sin. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Would you want to brag on your righteousness? Let's talk about your badness. The language of the women and the language of the world always gives them away. If anybody finds out you attend church, what's the first question they ask you? How many go to your church? Isn't that it? Well, how many go to your church? What does that matter? We don't have one, and we're never going to have one. But most churches have a board up here in the front. I remember when we used to have them when we were in religion. Well, how many did you have in Sunday school today? How many did you have in preaching? How much was your offering? How many did you have in Sunday school last year? What's the most you've ever had? And it's right there for everybody to look at. Everybody wants to see it. Isn't that right? I'm telling you the truth. But what does that matter? It doesn't matter. But they want you to feel like you're just a little bit less than they are. And you realize who you are, it doesn't matter. That's exactly right. I'm just glad to know him. As I thought about that, you know how many is in this church? It's a number which no man can number. From every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. Well, they're wanting to talk to you about their number. How many they had saved last year? How many they're running? That's sad, but that's hero worship. Hero worship. This is how the depraved mind works. You cannot find God in all their praise. They are of the flesh, and they only think of the flesh. And this made Saul mad. There's only one captain, and that's God. That's exactly. What did they say? That one man come unto Christ, and he said, good master, what would you have me do? And our Lord says, there's none good but one, and that's God. Isn't that what he said? Isn't that what he said? And when he did miracles, instead of telling somebody, now you go down there and you tell everybody what's happened to you, he said, don't you go tell nobody. You know what he did? Because he knew what people would do. He's God. And yes, he performed miracles. Yes, he fed the 5,000. Yes, he did. But he never bragged about it. He made himself of no reputation. Isn't that right? No reputation. But you know what we worry about? We worry about our reputation. And he made himself of no reputation. Christ is our salvation. And this is, the preaching of the cross is offensive to man's natural pride. You know what it does? It strips them and it doesn't give them any bit, not the least bit. It gives God all the glory. And that's what makes the world mad. That's it. Let me read you this. I heard this the other day and it blessed my heart. Now listen, if you cannot rejoice in the total, complete success of Jesus Christ, you're in the flesh. And also, if you cannot rejoice in the success of your brother, you're in the flesh. I'm to esteem you better than myself. That's right. Better than myself. He said, when you come in, you take the lowest seat. That's right. The lowest seat. Man wants the highest seat. Isn't that right? Hebrew worship. Let me tell you this, and as I thought about this, you know, if we're not careful, we even believers can fall into this trap. They did it in the church of Corinth. Let me just read to you what they did. As Paul was writing to that church at Corinth, he said, now this I say unto you, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Cephas, or Peter, and I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius. You know why Paul didn't baptize them? If he had baptized people, that had said, you know who baptized me? I was baptized by Paul. Who were you baptized by? You see what I'm saying? That's what he said. That's why he didn't do it. Look what the Roman Catholic Church did with Peter. When our Lord said, Peter, upon this rock I'll build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And they said, okay, he's the first pope. Let's worship him as a hero. That's exactly right. Calvinism. He was just a man. Spurgeon, just a man. I'm going to tell you this. They hate living prophets and they love dead prophets. It's bad that a man has to die for somebody to respect him. But that's right. But let me tell you, I don't care who he is. He is just a man. Just a man. The best of men are men at best. And we by nature, we look to men. I thank God for men. I thank God for good preachers. But they're just men. It's exactly right. Isn't that right? And over in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, he said, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another says, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? He said, I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. One man may just come along and just plow the ground. Have you ever plowed ground? I've never done it with a horse. I've done it with a tractor. But I've seen people that do it with a horse. Man, that's hard work. And he says, no man layeth his hand to the plow and looketh back as fit for the kingdom of God. One preacher may do nothing but plow the ground to get it ready. And another man may come along and just plant the seed. And another man come along and just water the seed. But who gives the increase? God does. Somebody had to plow it. Somebody had to water it. Somebody had to plant it. But God gave the increase. If God hadn't given the increase, it wouldn't matter who plowed it. It wouldn't matter who planted the seed. And it wouldn't matter who watered it. God gave the increase. we're going to worship him. I don't know but one hero, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? There's more been more songs sung about him, more books written about him than anybody else. He's God. Remember John the Baptist? Our Lord said there's not a greater been born than John the Baptist, but he's the least in the kingdom of God. His ministry only lasted a few months. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, I don't know anybody else that was said about. Not any mortal man. I don't know anybody else. It wasn't said that about Elijah. But he came in the Spirit and the power of Elijah. And they come to John, and John's ministry, he said, I'm not that light, but I'm sent to bear witness of the light. And they came to John because John had disciples. And they came to John and they said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee, talking about Christ beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes. And all men come to him. What are we going to do about it? John says, he must increase. And I must continually decrease. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It is about him. You see what I'm saying? And God has to keep reminding us of that. Because we still deal with that old stinking, rotten, good-for-nothing pride. Don't you like somebody brag on you? Let's be honest, we sure do. We love it. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. You know what God's doing in all this? He's going to humble, and he's going to break David. He's going to use King Saul. Now, I know he's a picture of Christ, but we can also look at this. David's a picture of the believer. You've been brought from the sheepfold. God passed by all your brothers and picked you out and set his love upon you. Now God's brought you into the palace. And you've got all these men that are under you, that you rule over them when you take them into battle. And God's given you great success. First thing to slip in is pride. The Apostle Paul wrote 14 books of this Bible. And God took this man. He said, I don't know whether he was in the body or out of the body. He said, God took me to the third heavens. And this was 14 years ago. And he said, I can't even describe it. And can you imagine seeing those revelations that nobody else had saw? And he said, unless I get proud, God give me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. And he said, I prayed, God, take it away. And you know what God said? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. God is the only one. Now listen to me. God is the only one that can deliver you from your pride and yourself. He's the only one that can. You can't. You can't, I'm telling you. And you know it. And you know what God will do? He will send you a King Saul. King Saul says, he said he eyed him from that very day. Before this, he hadn't thought anything about it. He didn't think anything about it when David went and defeated Goliath, or he'd have never put him in his army. If he'd ever thought David was a threat to his throne, he'd never done any of those things. But he eyed him, looked at him with suspicion. You know, they watched our Lord. They watched him. Said they watched him and they sent four spies which should feign themselves just men. They acted like just men. That they might take hold of his words. That they might deliver him into the power and the authority of the governor. They watched him. You know what Saul's doing now? He's watching David. He didn't go tell David he was watching him. He's watching him. He's eyeing him. Verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. And look in the next verse, it said, it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from the Lord came upon him. And it said that he prophesied. Here we see Saul showing his own true heart. Try to picture this. God sent this evil spirit from himself to Saul. God does all these things. Everything God does is good. He said, I'm God and there is none else. He does all things well. Everything is God's servant. You're his servant and I'm his servant. That's right. But listen, what does that mean when it said Saul prophesied? And I read from several men, and the best definition I could find was from John Gill. And here's what he said. Now you picture this. Here's this man. He's consumed with jealousy. He eyes David. He's suspicious of him. He in jealousy, you know what it's like, because we've all felt it, just jealous. Just jealous. And the evil spirit from God comes upon him and he prophesies. Now what does this mean? He said he acted like a madman. You ever seen somebody just act like a madman? I've seen people that were jealous of their spouse to the point it drove them crazy. They act crazy, don't they? Crazy. This is King Saul. He acted like a madman or a fool, uttering foolish words and using ridiculous gestures. You know what this describes? False preachers. They act like a madman. They act like a fool, uttering foolish words and using ridiculous gestures. Me and Sandy saw one on TV the other day, and they claim to be prophets. Now they do. And they're under an influence of some spirit. That's exactly right. It's not the Spirit of God. You know what he said? It's Mother's Day this Sunday. And I'm trying to be funny, as funny as I can be. Said, all you mothers out there and all you parents who have kids, why don't you send your prayer request in and we're going to have all our mothers here in the church. We're going to pray over them prayer requests. And we're going to pray over these prayer cloths. And for the amount of money that you send us, we're going to send you back a prayer cloth. And you can claim that God's going to answer your prayer. That's a fool. That's a fool. That's a madman with foolish gestures. Isn't that right? Am I stretching it too far? This man, Saul, hated David. And you know who hates you the most? Religion. They can't stand you in their presence. They don't know what it is about you that they don't like. They just know they don't like you. Have you ever experienced that? He said he prophesied. Prophesied. And you know what David did? David did what he had always done. What happened earlier in a couple of chapters back when Saul, the evil spirit, came upon Saul? They called for David to come and play on his harp or whatever it was and to ease his conscience. So you know what David did? David played his harp. Now get this. This is going to be the next king. This is the man that rules men in his army. But he sees Saul acting this way, and he plays his harp for this man. There's something to be learned there. Some said that they felt like Saul was just baiting him up. Acting like, you know, he's mad or whatever, just so David will play his harp. Because what is Saul's intention? He wants to kill him. We read there when David came in. Now picture this. Here David's playing his harp. And here the king is. Whether he's sitting or walking around, we don't know. But he does have in his hand, he doesn't have a scepter. He has a javelin. Most of you know what a javelin is. You see them in the Olympics or whatever it is. It's a long pole and they throw it. They're doing it for competition, but they did it for defense. And as David's playing on whatever instrument it was, whether it was a harp or whatever, for Saul, King Saul throws that javelin at David, and he says, I intend to nail him to the wall. And you know what they did to our Lord? They said, we hate him so much, we're going to nail him to a cross. Isn't that right? I thought about it, and I don't know exactly what all the javelin represented, but it said David escaped out of his hands twice. Now, if he did it the first time, I wouldn't have went back in there the second time. But David did. Our Lord came to Jerusalem and he cast out devils. And when he's going back before he's crucified, the disciples said, Lord, don't go back. The last time you went down there, they wanted to kill you. And he said, their hour was not yet come, but this is their hour. Our Lord, when he was reviled, reviled not again. Let me just read to you what he said. In Matthew chapter 5. Now listen, if you want to turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 38. Taken from the Sermon on the Mount. Our Lord said, you've heard that it hath been said, Matthew 5, 38. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You know what we would have done? You let him throw a javelin at me, I'll go jerk it out of the wall and I'll throw it back at him. Isn't that our nature? But David didn't. He said, have you not heard? Though this is what the law says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Whatever you do to me, it's going to be rewarded to you. The punishment will fit the crime. But here's what he said. But I say unto you that you resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the one cheek, turn to him the other. Every time we read that, we just assume read something else. Every time we read that, we just have to go, oh me. Would you let somebody smite you on the cheek and then say, here, okay, here's the other one. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall go compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give unto him that asketh thee, and for him that would borrow of thee, turn thou not away. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, now listen to me. Listen to me. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Does that just speak to my heart or does that speak to yours? Isn't it hard for you to love your enemy? Our Lord, when he hung on the cross, you know what he said? Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I know you were always loved of God in the covenant of grace, but we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were enemies in our minds by wicked works, and he prayed for us. We were his enemy. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You know what Stephen prayed in Acts 7? They're stoning this man to death. Besides crucifixion, I can't think of a more horrible death than be stoned to death. Can you? And Stephen said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Can you do that? Isn't this what he's saying? Isn't this what our Lord said? Isn't this what David did? He threw the javelin at him and he kept on and he went back and he went back and he went back. Why? He loved him. Let me read on. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them. Pray for them. When was the last time you prayed for your enemy? Pray for them that which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? But if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not the publicans so? Now watch this. I can't explain it. I'm just going to read it. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. You know what it says? He makes us perfect. How can we explain this? David trusted God to perform his promises. And you see this? This is a turning point in his life. From this day forward. It's kind of ironic that just right after he kills Goliath, it's not long before Saul, the rest of his life, Saul is going to spend the rest of his life hunting David like a dog. We're going to see David has to live in a cave. David even has to take his family, Jesse and his mother, and take them down to Moab because Saul would have killed them. But while David's in the cave, everybody that was in distress and those that had need came to David. And that's it. It may look like this morning that Saul's sitting on the throne and it seems like he's ruling. But let me tell you this. Our Lord's still king. He still reigns. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. God help us. God help me to learn this lesson. Amen.